We're ready to bring out our fabulous guest.
You're going to bring her out of the green room?
Yeah, bring her out. And if anybody has any questions, I got to tell you, Connie's the person you want to ask because she helped me dramatically. You know, she definitely has some fabulous answers. So just go ahead.
Sydney. Well, you go get her, and I'll introduce her. How about that?
Okay.
Well, you know our guest tonight is Connie Chandler, and she's been a science of mind practitioner for over 15 years. She's studied metaphysics for 22 years and has taught it for 15. She's also studied the Abraham teachings, which, you know, we love, since 1995. She's an accomplished author, speaker, and teacher, and has successfully created and manifested financial independence, which, you know, I want to grow up to be like her. Extensive travel, amazing experiences and adventures in consciousness. That's what I'm talking about. It's almost like Star Trek. And she's living the life of her dreams, and her vision is to continue to uplift consciousness wherever she may be. So welcome to the show, Connie.
Thank you, Sydney, and it's so nice to be a part of this Love Fest party already going on, huh, Julie?
Well, you can tell we're thrilled to have you.
Oh, it's a delight to be here. Thank you.
How did you enjoy our green room? Isn't it very relaxing?
Absolutely glorious, and I will rampage appreciation for the green room if you like.
Yes, please do that so it can expand.
How is it for you to provide such luxurious accommodation for your weight? I can feel uplifted by the aromatherapy provided and the beauty of the flowers on the table and the exquisiteness of the strawberry. I mean, I tasted that strawberry. It burst into my taste buds with practically orgasmic experience.
So we have a grapefruit guy.
Have a great fruit.
Yeah, we're going to have to dip some extra good this week, too.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, let's jump right in because we have got 1,001 questions for you.
Wonderful. I look forward to that.
Oh, good. Okay. Connie, you have been upfront and personal with Abraham for many years, and I think you're probably one of the best qualified people, other than the Hicks, to really tell some of the newcomers to the Law of Attraction who may be listening who and what Abraham is, because we do have a lot of people scratching their heads from this radio show.
Mm-hmm. Well, Abraham is a teacher, and they're a teacher that comes from a non-physical perspective. And it's easy to get confused with the pronouns because it's a group of consciousness beings with a masculine singular name and a feminine voice. So, you know, how do you figure out they call themselves they, but it could be he or it could be she. And it really makes you beg the question of how can all this be, and move into a loosening of boundaries and consciousness to recognize that we are more than we appear on the physical plane.
Mm.
There is both a non-local and a local aspect of self. And what you see with Abraham is the local self, which is Esther, and the non-local self, which is Abraham. And it explains in some ways very powerfully that the non-local aspect of who we are is a collective consciousness rather than a singular consciousness. We didn't come here to be alone and be separate. We are always connected to Source. And Abraham, in many ways, by causing people to ask questions about what is this Abraham anyway, gets the conversation going about who we really are in this physical plane.
Right.
We are not separate consciousness. We are part of a stream of non-physical energy that is infinite and eternal.
Wow.
Wow.
Put so well. Wow.
Okay, I have nothing else to say.
Oh, I do.
Come on,
I do, because, you know, with Abraham, I mean, it's people call it channeling, and that topic sometimes pushes people away. But the truth of the matter is there's something about Abraham's teachings that resonates with even those people who cannot grasp the channeling portion of it. So what makes Abraham's teachings so identifiable?
Well, I identify with people who find the channeling part of it weird, because when someone first handed me an Abraham tape in 1994, I didn't listen to it. I put it aside. I wasn't drawn to it. It wasn't until after I'd had some fairly traumatic experiences in my life the following winter, and I was asking questions, that I became a match to the answer that was Abraham. And I got beyond my prejudice about channeling to listen to those answers. And what happened with me is a friend of mine that I deeply trust and appreciate took a handful of Abraham tapes and put them in my hand and closed my hand around it and said, listen to this, it will help you. And she was so right. And in the course of that, she ended up giving me a shopping bag full of Abraham tapes. And I immersed myself in that consciousness and immediately signed up for the weekly tape program myself, because when I was ready, I was ready.
Right.
But until you're ready, nothing anyone says about it is really going to make a difference. Because as Abraham says, you can't answer a question that hasn't been asked.
Right.
And until the asking is there, until the desire is there for the information, it's irrelevant. It's unnecessary. People are finding what they need from other places.
Well, I have to say I agree with you, because that happened to me too. It wasn't until I was, like, you know, bedraggled, and I had written all these questions in my journal. And I think 3 or 4 days later, it was the 11th of December. And then on the 19th was when the book kind of just fell into my hand, you know.
Right. It's amazing how that happens when the time is right.
Right.
And for me, it's about trusting that everybody's where they should be.
Right.
And the rest of the question you asked me, Julie, is why does this information resonate so powerfully with the people who are asking for it?
Right.
And I think the answer to that part of the question is that this is very practical, straightforward information. It's easy to understand. There are specific processes and teachings that help you deal with ordinary everyday life. What to do today in this situation.
Right.
And I think that practicality is extraordinary.
Well, it certainly changed my life.
And mine.
Mine
dramatically.
So. Everybody.
Mine so.
There's really anybody who picks up a book of Abraham's, I mean, I've got to tell you, their life has changed, and you can't go backwards after that.
No.
Once you pick it up and you resonate with it, there's nowhere else to go but forward. And it's a wonderful experience.
I have to say, my book vibrates with me. It does. I don't let anybody say, listen, you have to get your own.
Yeah.
You can look at it, but, you know, no, you can't borrow it. I'm sorry.
There's another interesting dimension to that statement, too. The book vibrates with me, because Abraham says, people tell Jerry and Esther all the time that they listen to the same tape over and over again, and the answers on the tape change.
Yes.
But that's because we change and our capacity to hear the answers change. But there is a holographic nature to these answers that make them apply to us on many dimensions.
I was telling them, yeah. That's
we
true.
Move with it.
I was telling a friend of mine that today, as a matter of fact. I said, every time I read this book, you see this book? I said, every time asking and it's given, every time I read this book, there's something new in there. I swear, I tell you, they come in while I'm sleeping. And they put stuff in that I didn't see before.
They are tricky that way.
And truly, you know, you could very easily wear out a CD disc. you can, because you listen to it so many times, and every time it's just like, I did not hear it that before. Where was I?
Right?
Yeah, but it is amazing. It's just wonderful. But Connie, let's go just a step farther here, because we're talking now about the non-physical, and for me right now today, the timing of this is so wonderful, because today's Mother's Day, and six months ago, my mom transitioned after having Alzheimer's for many years. Now, even though I believe in eternity and I believe in all the other stuff, I must admit that I'm still having some sadness today. And it's only been 6 months, but at the same time, it's still there. So for me, as well as our listeners, perhaps you can talk a little bit about this, what we call death and eternity, from not only Abraham's teachings, but from your own experience, too.
Sure, I'd be glad to. And if you think of it, at some point, ask me again about Abraham's teachings about Alzheimer's.
Oh,
because they've said some really fascinating things about that. But about death and transition, that's a fascinating aspect of Abraham's teaching that I found has a greater potential to bring a sense of ease and peace into his life, into our lives, than any other part of what they teach. Because they have said, and I've noticed in people, that our feelings about death tend to almost diminish our ability to appreciate life.
Yeah.
And as we begin to come to a deeper understanding of what death is, we can relax into really living life. So I like to talk about death, and that's because, as Abraham says, there is none.
Mm-hmm.
They say there is only life, and that death is simply a reemergence into the non-physical of who we always are. And they have a different perspective than most teachings I ever heard before them about who we are. They do not say we are physical beings who, when we die, have an eternal life. They say we have an eternal life. That is our life. And then sometimes that eternal energy comes into the leading edge place in the physical. But it also is always, in larger part, remaining in the non-physical. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
So the bigger part of us is always non-physical. That is the eternal nature of our life. And we also simultaneously have a temporal nature. And when we die, we are simply withdrawing that extension of the non-physical into the physical back into the non-physical. And that when we reemerge into non-physical, we completely experience the fullness of who we are immediately. It's pure positive energy. It's the greatest party ever. And they say, we laugh and laugh and say, why did we worry? All that grief for nothing. You know, all that fear for nothing. All that angst for nothing. Because we know ourselves in the fullness of who we are again.
Mm.
And we experience the love that we are at an extraordinary level. And I will share some of the stories about my own mother's transition, if it's okay with you.
Oh, yeah.
Because she really helped me tap into that love and to understand it at a higher level. I went to visit my mother for a week, the week before she made her transition. And when I came home, I recognized that it was quite likely I would not see her in the physical again. And that very first evening, I went into meditation with a group of friends, and I was speaking to my husband, Cliff, who died in 1995, and I said to him, please help my mother make her transition in the easiest possible way. Invite her into the light, whatever it is you can do. And I felt him pat me on the arm, which I often do when I speak to those that I love in non-physical. And he said, oh, Connie, I'd love to help you in that way, but I'd have to wait in line.
You'd have to wait in line?
He'd have to wait in line. And in that moment, I was hit with a wave of love that was bigger than anything I'd ever felt before in meditation.
Wow.
He was telling me that the love that was waiting there for my mother was so much bigger than anything he could do. And I've come to understand that that love is always here present for us. And in fact, I did talk to Abraham about that and said to them, how can I experience that love in this physical body? Do I have to die to get it? And they said, ask and allow, and it is.
Wow.
So we have endless love available to us. And in fact, when I met David Gordon, he told me that the reason that he was attracted to Abraham is that they speak endlessly of love.
Mm.
And if you listen to the end of any of their workshops, they always say, there is great love here for you.
Right.
But if you read Ask and It Is Given for the love that's in it, it's an amazing experience. And for me, a totally different experience than I had when I read the book the first time.
Right. Well, you're also a licensed science of mind practitioner.
I am, yes.
Now, what is that exactly? Is that, like, similar to Unity? Because I used to be a Unity member. Was that, or a New Thought Alliance, or?
Uh-huh. Science of Mind is a New Thought religion. It's very similar to Unity. Unity is more Bible-based.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest Holmes started Science of Mind, and his approach was to study all of the religions, Eastern religions as well as Western religions, and look for the congruence between them. He felt that every religion expresses truth. So if you look through the various religions and find what they have in common, you have the opportunity to experience a deeper level of truth. And so Science of Mind respects all religions, draws from all religions and teachings, and it believes, as Abraham teaches, that we are contemporary expressions of Source, that each one of us has a divine life that we are working with and through and as in this lifetime.
So you just sort of answered my next question. That's all I got to say. Because what I was going to ask you was really, you know, with regards to The Secret, you know, and even Abraham, I've heard people say, well, it doesn't include God. You know, it doesn't include Source, but to me, it includes that. So, with refraction, and there are other universal laws at play here, I believe as well. The law of attraction is a major one. That I was going to ask you, how do you see the religious beliefs integrating themselves with law of attraction, and does law of attraction negate that?
Oh, not at all. The way Ernest Holmes taught Law of Attraction, and there's a chapter called Law of Attraction in his textbook that was written in 1926 and revised in 1939. I mean, this is a...
Which book was that? Because I have some of his, too.
The Science of Mind.
Oh, okay. I don't have that one.
the whole point to the Law of Attraction is, he says, there is God, the thing itself, and then there is the way it works, which is the law. And so there is the sense of Source, the divine presence,
right,
the creative life force in all of the universe, and then there is the law by which that creative life force works, which is the law of attraction.
Well, now I have another question for you, Connie.
Uh-huh.
In your opinion, as fabulous as it is, what does allowing, because you touched on that a little bit when Abraham had said that to you, that you needed to allow.
Right.
And what does allowing mean And why does Abraham, this is for our listeners, you know, as well, why does Abraham say that this is so important to our well-being and creating the life that we desire? What is allowing? And, you know, like we've heard that comment, let go and let God.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, folks don't necessarily get that a little bit, like it gets a little twisted in their head. So to me, it's sort of the same thing. But what does Abraham mean when they say, you know, this art of allowing, this dance of allowing, the nuance of it?
Well, the easiest way to understand it is to think of the three steps that they describe. The first step is ask. And we ask for what we want by everything that we do in our lives. When we experience something that we don't want, we know better what we want. When we appreciate something, that's an asking. When we feel that something would be a really wonderful completion in our life, that's an asking. It's not a verbal asking, it's a vibrational asking. That's step one. Step two is it is given. The universe automatically answers everything we ask for. The presence of the divine is eager to give us what we want. We are a part of that. We are the beloved divine nature of life, and that giving is automatic. But step three is allowing it in. Step three is being able to receive what has been given. And that's the allowing part. The allowing part has been expressed in many ways. Yesterday at the Abraham workshop, Abraham defined allowing as allowing me in my human form to be up to speed with the wholeness of all that I am. That's a little convoluted, maybe, if you haven't heard it before. Another way they said it was, it goes like this. You are wonderful beings. You are blessed being. You are deserving of well-being. Well-being is on its way to you. Chill out and let it in. That's allowing. Chill out and let it in. Relax. Relax. Stop resisting.
Okay, all right. So let's just backtrack a little bit. What does, now, stop resisting. Resisting what? What am I resisting? You know, I mean, somebody might ask that question. I'm not resisting. I've asked. I'm sitting here and I'm praying. I'm asking, but nothing's happening.
Right. And if nothing's happening, it means there's resistance. By definition, things happen in the absence of resistance. And we don't notice our resistance because our negative thinking is often so familiar to us. And I can tell you a story in my life that helped me understand where my resistance was one day. I went to a meeting at a building that was, it was after dark, and I got there and the building was dark. And as I got out of my car and I walked across the parking lot, I said, I'm going to be unhappy if they canceled this meeting and I drove for an hour to get here. And I heard myself say very loudly to the universe in that moment, I am going to be unhappy if. I had never heard myself programming my unhappiness before that evening.
Wow.
But that was a powerful point of resistance and something that I said to myself fairly often under conditions that did not please me in the moment. And in that moment, the reason I heard it is that morning I had said, I want to feel good more of the time. It really is a higher priority for me to now feel good more of the time. And because I set that powerful intention, all of a sudden I heard it when I programmed myself in the other direction.
And so you had some resistance.
I had some resistance.
But you heard it this time.
To being happy,
right,
when things didn't go the way I wanted them to go.
Right.
I know we've got to open up the phone line, so let's just do that right now because I got to come back and I got to ask her another question.
Ask that question.
Yeah, but we're opening up the phone line, so if you have a question you want to ask Connie, now's the time to call in and we'll get you on. So you got resistance.
Uh-huh.
How do you get to the point of actually hearing the resistance? I mean, because you're so ingrained in that negative talk, how do you bring yourself out of it to even be aware of it?
I think one of the powerful ways you do it is that you immerse yourself consciously in a way that focuses more on the kind of vibration you want. You listen to things like Abraham. You read books that have the level of belief that you want in them. And when you get really clear about the level of belief that you want, then you're much more likely to hear the thoughts that you have that are not in harmony with that.
Good. Excellent.
Well, we have some callers.
Oh, yeah. We better get going on this, Connie.
Okay.
That was good to me.
I'm going to take this one, 607.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. 607. Area code 607. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
There she is. There she is. 607?
Yeah. She's not taking, she's not speaking.
Okay, we'll go down to
okay. Well, we have another caller. Area code 440. Hello? We're having some problems here today.
Hello?
They're gone.
No.
Well, they'll call back.
Oh, good. Well, then we get Connie to ourselves.
I don't mind.
I don't either.
I ain't mad.
Oh, I'm, that's being greedy. I'm sorry.
I don't mind being greedy. No, 607 is back again. Let's try it one
okay,
more time. All right. Let me click her on her. Come on. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Area code 607 and your name?
Allison.
Allison, where are you calling from?
Ithaca, New York.
Oh, yeah, okay. Hi, Ithaca. I'm in Brooklyn.
Hi. That's where I moved from.
Okay. Your question or your comment? If you can make it brief.
Okay.
That would be great if you haven't said it. Okay.
So my question is, I have been focusing a lot on financial abundance, and I've been feeling great and really happy. And what's interesting is I'm attracting money, but very small amounts. So like jobs for $10 an hour here, or some, or you know, small amounts of income coming in. And I'm wondering what that's about, because there's a flow, but it's not what I'm imagining. Does that make sense?
It does, and it reminds me of something that Louise Hay wrote that I read in like 1985, where she said, if you start asking for abundance and you find a penny on the sidewalk, don't stamp your foot and say, that's not enough.
Uh-huh.
Look at it with joy and say, oh boy, here it comes.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I love it.
Right, because I'm just seeing it as, what am I doing wrong, instead of just appreciating it.
Right.
You're saying, right.
Money flows on appreciation.
Right.
You know, that's why assets appreciate, because all of it is about being willing to allow.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciation is the vibration of source.
Right.
That is in harmony with abundance and health and love and everything else you want.
That's great. All right, thank you, Connie, and I really appreciate all your posts on the Abe Listserv and just everything.
Thanks, Allison. It's nice talking to you.
You too.
Thanks for calling, Allison.
All right, thank you, you guys. You have a great radio show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
See, you're appreciating us. Now we're getting bigger.
I am. I really am.
Thanks. Okay,
right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Allison's question reminds me of something else, too. One of the things I like to do when I give freely in my life is to bill the universe for what I've done. Like if I write a class and I give it away, I say, oh, that was worth $10,000. Universe, bring me $10,000 in a way that will surprise and delight me.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, see, I like that.
That is really good. Now, I have not heard of that before, so that is a wonderful technique I'm going to be trying.
I'm definitely going to try that on my MySpace pages. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's excellent. Excellent.
So we have another caller. Let's try this again.
Okay.
From 440 area code. Okay, hello.
Hi, Sydney.
Hi.
It's Diana.
Hey, Diana. How are you?
I'm great. Hello, everybody.
And you're in Ohio?
Yes, I'm calling from the suburbs of Cleveland.
All right.
Actually, I just wanted to say that I completely agree with Connie. I think we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. I don't think there's really death. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when we come into physical existence, we actually have memories of the non-existence. And I tell you because I have a story of hope and inspiration to share with everyone. When I got pregnant with my son, my water broke at 23 weeks. I don't think I need to tell anybody how devastating that is.
Yeah.
And when we got to the hospital, we sat there for a few hours watching the baby's heartbeat and things like that. And the doctors really wanted us to abort the pregnancy at that point. The statistics for survival were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, my husband right away, of course, was like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to hang in there as long as we can. Well, I had to lay in the hospital for 3 months.
Mm.
Wow.
And just complete bed rest. And they gave us steroid shots to help my son along with his growth. And every day they came in and told us it was like 1 in 4 billion chance of him living.
Wow.
And then one day they took us to the neonatal nursery to visit all the babies hooked up to machines and life support. And they really told us to prepare ourselves that he was going to be a vegetable in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And that most likely he would have to be tube-fed. Well, we prayed, we begged, we pleaded with God, and we focused on the baby and the fact that we loved it, you know, and we wanted to bring it here. And I want you to know when my son was born, he went into the intermediate nursery. He was fine. Had everything with a 10.
Talk about the power of love. That's awesome.
Honestly. And the only issue we had was he had to be tube-fed for his first month.
Wow.
And when we brought him home, he was perfectly healthy, and he's had no real issues since then. But when he was 3, he made me come down to his level, and he held his hands on my face, and he told me, and he didn't really speak very well at the time, not clearly, but for whatever reason, he wanted to tell me something, and he made it clear. And he told me, Mama, I chose you and Dad to be my parents.
Wow.
He said, I circled above and I watched you, and you guys were the nicest people, and I wanted you to be my parents.
Wow.
At 3.
At 3.
Stunning.
And I honestly believe, I just felt like he had such truth and sincerity, you know, that it just seemed real to me. And, of course, that sent me on my path to spiritual enlightenment.
Uh-huh.
So I just thought that was a great story of hope and inspiration.
Oh, especially on Mother's Day. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Because you know what? Abe always talks about talking to the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. Learning
exactly.
From the children.
I do believe they know a lot more than we give them credit for.
Well, thank you, Diana, for calling in.
You're welcome, and I just want to tell you both, you guys have a wonderful show going, and I'm glad to have been able to call in and chat with you today.
Oh, well, thank you for calling.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate you, too. You ladies have a great day.
You, too.
You, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, while we're waiting for another caller here, perhaps we could go ahead and talk about that Alzheimer's thing, Connie, that you were mentioning.
Oh, yes. There was a wonderful interaction that Abraham had with a woman who was a neural researcher who had done great work with brain-injured individuals,
mm-hmm.
and she went to take those same techniques to work with Alzheimer's patients, and they didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And she was confounded by that, and she went to ask Abraham about it. And Abraham said to her, the Alzheimer's patients don't want to come back, that they have found their own way of reemerging partially into non-physical.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't yet ready to make their full reemergence, but they're they're in process. And something in their physical life has become more painful than they're willing to continue to look at. So they have found their way of looking over the edge while they're still here in the physical form.
Mm-hmm.
And to bless them and honor them for the choice and to trust that they know what they're doing.
Right.
Mm. Well, that's hard sometimes, but that I do.
Well, you know, just a couple months ago, actually, because I do feel my mom around sometimes,
uh-huh.
And I did get the impression from her, because I've been curious, you know, why. I mean, it's really traumatic seeing somebody that you love who can't remember you anymore.
Right.
But I did ask her, you know, what's going on? Why did you have to do all that?
Uh-huh.
And she said it's because we were such a close-knit family of seven people, our
uh-huh.
family, that she felt that if she left too fast, it would cause us so much pain.
Uh-huh.
So that she decided to prolong it to get us used to the fact that she was going.
Right.
And that was the first time after years of asking the universe why, I finally got the answer.
Uh-huh.
I believe from her, at least that's what it felt. It felt right to me.
Uh-huh. And I absolutely believe that we can talk to our beloved family members anytime, Abraham says that too. But what Abraham says as their advice in that is that you have to be in joy in order to be in their vibrational range.
Mm.
That if you're in sorrow or grief, you can't hear them.
Oh, wow.
And at my mother's funeral, I said to her, "Who's there with you now, Mom?" And the most joyful voice I had ever heard came back and said, "Everybody." There was absolutely no difference for her at that point between the physical and non-physical. She was surrounded by everyone she cared for in that moment.
Mm.
And she had
that's
no
right, in the
separation.
Physical and the non-physical, they
right.
all came together. Wow.
She was totally in the oneness. And I could feel that oneness, even though I was at her funeral. I had my episodes of grief, and that's what we called them in our family. I'm having an episode. But, you know, the night before I was playing with the children in the funeral home and getting them in trouble. Because I had such a deep sense that she wanted to go, she was comfortable with going. I have another story I could tell you that might be interesting in this moment, because the week before, when I was at her bedside at one point, when she was in a lot of pain, she was kind of whimpering with pain, and it was breaking my heart. And I was standing next to her, holding her hand, and wanting to soothe her, but not knowing how.
Mm-hmm.
And I was praying silently, because the way I prayed and the way she prayed were different and didn't always come together nicely. But I was praying for peace for myself and for her. And standing at her bedside, I looked up, and straight out her window came a fox. And I saw this beautiful little fox sit down in her backyard and begin grooming herself. And then her mate came over and started licking her face. And it was the most beautiful scene, and they were there for maybe 10 minutes. And I just watched them, and I relaxed. And at the end of the 10 minutes, I looked down. My mom had gone to sleep. Her face was totally peaceful. And it was like Spirit had delivered serenity to me like a pizza.
Wow.
Right there in her bedroom.
Wow.
It was just an amazing, precious moment.
Yeah.
Of my inner being knows that animals are my passion in life. And seeing those beautiful animals like a documentary movie right there out the window totally relaxed me, which communicated itself to my mother and totally relaxed her. And my prayer was answered in that moment. It's such a profound.
Don't you just love when the universe sends you these little surprises and it's doing it all the time?
Absolutely.
I mean, all the time.
Absolutely. I had one with Esther Hicks yesterday. I was at the Abraham Workshop in Maryland yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I've been around Abraham for so many years. I mean, I remember a workshop I went to in Key West, Florida that had 14 people in it that was held in the living room of the suite they were in at the hotel. And now it's, you know, 400 people in a big hotel room in Maryland. And, you know, Esther's not accessible. In those days, you'd go to a workshop with 75 people and she'd be doing registration in the morning. And, you know, she was always around, but now she's taken care of more. She other people do all the setup and the registration, and she comes in at the last minute and is busy. So you don't get to spend time with her the way we once did when there were fewer people at the workshops. But I always love to say hello to her, and I make sparkly bracelets. And we got into a habit on the cruises of I would give her a sparkly bracelet for every cruise, and once I started doing that, I started giving her a sparkly bracelet also for every workshop. So I had left a bracelet on the table for her, not knowing if I would get a chance to speak to her, but I just set my intention to see her if it was appropriate and to be respectful of her privacy and her time and her need to take care of herself in these large groups now, if it wasn't appropriate, that I would be okay either way. And at the end of the workshop, I talked to my friends, and I was going to dinner with some friends afterwards, and so I finished talking to the people I was talking to. I said, I need to go to the restroom. I came back from the restroom. There was a long hallway. There was not a single person in it, and I'm coming down the hallway, and who steps into the hallway but Esther Hicks? And so she gave me a warm hug, and I gave her the opportunity to pick out her own bracelet because she hadn't found the one I left on the table. And so she picked out the one that had the red coral beads, which were brand new. Swarovski came out with a new bead for 2007, which is a beautiful deep red color, and that was the bracelet she wanted. So I had my lovely warm interaction with Esther, even though there were large crowds.
Oh, wow.
So that was nice.
That is so wonderful. You know, we got one caller, and we're running out of time, but I do want to...
All right. It's 910 area code. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina, North Cackalacky. And your name?
This is Kenneth Bird.
Hi, Kenneth.
Yes, I listened to your show tonight. Our daughter, Diana, who you spoke with earlier.
Oh!
Is our daughter.
Fabulous!
And she is
that's
a wonderful...
your magic wonderful. Grandson, huh?
Oh, yeah, he's the little genius of the family. There's 19 grandchildren, and we love them all dearly.
Wow.
And, of course, like I say, Mickey is our little... He's our little genius of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to your show kind of reminded me of growing up in the 60s and listening to the different people talk about the meaning of life and things like that we did in our teens.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the question was always, back then, you climbed the mountain to speak with the Dalai Lama and ask that question, what is the meaning of life? And it's taken me many years to discover that, but I guess the answer to me is the answer is within yourself.
Right.
His answer would be you already know the answer. The answer lies within you.
Exactly.
So, and like I said, I just wanted to call in and let Diana know how much we appreciate her. I'm sure she's listening.
She just sent me a message. Oh, my God.
No, she is so cool. And, you know, she and I talk a lot about things like this in life, and I'm always telling her, you know, that some of the experiences that her mother and I had during the 60s and 70s and growing up, some of the things that I've enjoyed, I guess one of the phrases I remember, a Mac Davis song that came out way back when was, you know, you got to stop and smell the roses
mm-hmm.
and just appreciate the simple things in life.
Absolutely.
Right. It's not that hard to look within yourself. It really isn't. It's just you got to stop and slow down just a little bit in this fast-paced world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed your show, and I wanted to be at least one male get or speaker on tonight.
Well, see, we sent it out, and you just,
yeah,
you replied.
I responded, yeah. I was probably going to pick the phone up and call me afterwards.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, we appreciate you. Definitely.
You're welcome, and I hope your show continues with success.
Thank you.
We see it. We feel it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow. Well, that is so interesting, Connie. Everything is just coming together. You know, what he was just saying, that it's all within us.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with the teachings from Abraham, for me, taught me that we're not separate. We are. Everyone is a part of each other, and Source is a part of us. And now I can tune myself to go inside and actually really start experiencing and getting all of the answers that I need.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I love that Abraham says, too, that we don't need Abraham. I mean, we don't need Esther.
Uh-huh.
We have all the answers, and we can actually access every answer. Nothing is inconceivable. That line right there takes me out every time.
Uh-huh.
Nothing is inconceivable to you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I am so appreciative to Abraham, who gave me the tools to first understand it. And then I'm very appreciative to Abraham. Because of Abraham, I got to meet Connie. And it's just been a thrill just seeing her and getting all that love from her. I just think it's wonderful.
Well, hey, she's a wonderful lady. We love
her. She truly is.
Yeah.
And I would
This is an awesome show.
Oh, thanks. I just want to make sure that people realize that they can email Connie, they can go to her website, they can contact her. If you really have the need, she is a fabulous counselor. I wholeheartedly recommend her, and she'll make a difference in your life. And her website is now listed on our host page, but it's www.conniechandler.com. That's CHANDLER.
And Connie is CONNEE.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Is there anything else you want to let our listeners know before you leave this evening?
If we're talking about my work, I would say that how I see my work is that I like most to be with someone where the smallest movement makes the biggest difference.
Mm.
And so that's where leverage is. And this weekend I was with somebody at the Abraham Workshop at lunch, and she had a question, and I told her a story I heard at a workshop last week and made that connection, and I felt like I had done my work for the day, that the energy moved. It's not so much for me about talking to clients on the phone or teaching a class. It's about moving the energy. And when the energy moves, it's like standing on the edge of the expansion of the universe, and it makes me really happy. And I love sharing that moment with extraordinary people. That's
wow.
My work.
Wow. That's wonderful. So well put.
Well, thank you, Miss Connie Chandler.
Well, you're welcome.
I hope you had fun with us tonight.
I had a great time. It's flown by.
I know. I can't believe it.
It's almost over. It's amazing.
Someday soon, we're looking at getting a couple hours. So
that'll be great.
Yeah. And we would love to have you back, too, and really talk about some other great things.
Anytime. I really enjoyed it.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great.
That was just delicious.
Yeah, it really was. Woo, I feel so energized right now.
Are you zooming?
Yeah, I am zooming. I can feel it. Okay.